is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Ronald Reagan was a pro-life president. He was elected in 1980, and abortion is still legal. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and what I'd like to ask you today is, do you think that it's time for us to stop talking about whether or not abortion should be legal or illegal, about whether Roe versus Wade should stay or go, and instead work together, pro-life people and pro-choice people, to reduce the number of abortions without arguing about whether or not abortion itself is right or wrong, should be legal or illegal? What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. There is a move going on among some, including some who are on the platform committee of the Democratic Party, to include an abortion reduction plank. We're going to have one of those individuals, Tony Campolo, evangelical left leader and a member of the Democratic Party Platform Committee, who's going to be talking about this proposal. It's been endorsed by Democrats for Life, pro-life organization, and what it says is, let's come together as pro-life and pro-choice people and work to reduce the number of abortions by providing people with economic help, by encouraging adoption, by doing some other things. Do you think that this is a good idea? Or do you think that instead this kind of puts up a smoke screen to the horror of abortion? I've got my own ideas on that, but I'm going to save them for a few minutes. I'd like to know what you think. We're going to hear from Tony Campolo in a few minutes, and also a good friend of mine, Robert P. George of Princeton University. Something tells me they're going to disagree, and disagree sharply on this issue. What do you think? 877-893-8255. But before we get to that, in the news, I've got an especially gravelly voice today. I woke up this morning with no voice at all, but I'm sitting here, sitting right next to my Coke Zero with some crystallized ginger that I went and bought in a hippie health food store today with a golden Buddha in the front of it at the recommendation of a 74-year-old Southern Baptist evangelist. So I know what kind of a weird, wild, and fun world I'm living in, and I'm going to keep taking the crystallized ginger and just hope my voice holds out for the rest of this radio program, especially when it's kind of a slow and weird news day. John McCain addressed the NAACP, and his rhetoric was not very sharp at all. What Senator McCain had to say was that he praises Senator Obama, at least for some things. This is what he had to say yesterday.
Let me begin, if I may, with a few words about my opponent. Don't tell him I said this, but he's an impressive fellow in many ways. He's inspired a great many Americans, some of whom had wrongly believed that a political campaign could hold no purpose or meaning for them. His success should make Americans, all Americans, proud. Of course, I would prefer his success not to continue quite as long as he hopes, but it does make you and me proud to know the country I've loved and served all my life, still a work in progress and always improving.
Senator McCain also spoke yesterday at a town meeting in Missouri, actually today, about where he differs from Senator Obama, and it had to do particularly with the issue that we're going to be talking about on this program today, that of abortion, and particularly partial birth abortion. This is what Senator McCain had to say.
I also would like to say one other thing very quickly to you, and that is I am proud of my record of protecting and advocating the rights of the unborn. And I believe that this is also an important issue. I believe the noblest words ever written are those that said, all of us are created equal and endowed with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that life means the rights of the born and the unborn. So there's a great difference. There's a great difference between myself and Senator Obama. When he was in the Illinois State Legislature and he voted in the Judiciary Committee of that legislature, he voted against a ban on partial birth abortions. My friends, that's a hideous procedure. It should never be allowed any place on earth.
That's right.
So that's a great difference. It's a great difference between the two of us, and you can count on my active advocacy for the rights of the unborn.
I'm actually really cheered to hear that. I've never been much of a John McCain booster, and I've never heard him speak that directly to the issue of abortion, so I'm glad to hear it. I hope that many other candidates will start speaking in a similar fashion. Wouldn't it be great if you had Barack Obama and John McCain both agreeing on this particular issue and speaking out as advocates for the unborn? In other news, Senator Obama is still answering and still speaking to, and his supporters still upset by the cover of the New Yorker magazine that has Senator Obama and Michelle Obama in a cartoon appearing to be radical Muslim extremists doing the fist bump and having an American flag burning in the fireplace with a picture of Osama bin Laden on the wall. Actually, everybody is in some way or another offended by this. The Obamas are upset because it makes fun of them as potential Islamic terrorists. Conservatives are upset because the whole point of the cartoon is to make fun of conservatives on the internet who have suggested that Senator Obama might be soft on terrorism and some rumors that suggest he might be Muslim. And so there are very few people actually all that happy about the satire in the New Yorker's piece. But hey, it probably accomplished the New Yorker's goal. It's probably going to sell a lot of magazine. It's got a lot of people talking about the cover of the New Yorker. They weren't talking about it this time last week. 85% of Americans are unhappy with the economy, according to Time magazine. Right now, with mortgage crisis going on, with home prices in a very difficult situation, with the stock market back and forth everywhere, Time magazine is reporting that 85% of respondents in a Time Rockefeller Foundation poll believe the country is on the wrong track. As a matter of fact, fewer than half, the poll says, of Generation Y, half of it believes that the country's best days are ahead. And in the middle of all of that, you have the discussion that happened last week and this week about former Senator Phil Graham, suggesting that the problems in the country are in his words, mental recession. And Senator McCain saying, I don't agree with that. Senator Obama saying, we've already got one Dr. Phil, we don't need another one. And in what may be some of the oddest news of the day, Congressman Charlie Rangel. Many of you are familiar with Congressman Rangel, long time chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, congressman from New York, gravelly voiced kind of a figure, kind of like I am today. Congressman Rangel is under ethics charges, multiple ethics charges for various different things. And Congressman Rangel says, if nobody else files a complaint against him, well, he'll file one against himself. This is what he had to say.
If no one files the complaint, and if the reporter fails to get the Washington Post to file the complaint, then I'm directing my staff to show me how I can file an inquiry against myself.
Now, that is going to be interesting if Congressman Rangel files a complaint against himself for ethics charges. Well, that may be the most interesting House Ethics Committee meeting we've seen in a long time. Today, I want to talk about the issue of abortion, not the typical type of debate that we have in American culture. I want to talk particularly about whether or not there is any area of common ground that we ought to come and stand on in order to say, let's forget about whether or not abortion ought to be legal or illegal, and instead, let's talk about how we can reduce abortions. There are some Democrats who are arguing that that is exactly what we ought to do. Tony Campolo, for instance, who'll be joining us in just a few minutes, says he's going to go to the platform committee at the Democratic Party, and he is going to suggest a proposal that will reduce abortions, that will call on a reduction of abortion, without outlawing it. You think that's a good idea? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
So let's leave it alone, because we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, and there ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about abortion. Can we just agree to disagree and work together, pro-life people, pro-choice people, on reducing abortions by dealing with the economic factors behind abortion? Do you think that's a good idea? There are some pro-life Democrats who are saying, let's work together with pro-abortion Democrats and put an abortion reduction plank in the Democratic Party platform, and then let's work with Republicans on stopping the argument about whether or not abortion ought to be legal or illegal, or at least pushing it to the side for the moment, and instead doing something to reduce abortions through some legislation. Do you think that's a good idea? Or do you think that talking in this way will actually harm women and harm babies? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. 877-893-8255. And I have with me on the line today Tony Campolo, who is the founder and president of the Evangelical Association for the Promotion of Education. He is the author of Red Letter Christians, A Citizen's Guide to Faith and Politics. And he is among those calling for this abortion reduction plank. He is also a member of the Democratic Party's platform committee this year, and he'll be calling for this inclusion of the abortion reduction plank in this year's platform, and he has the support of Democrats for a Life of America, a pro-life organization. Also joining me on the phone is Professor Robert George, who is the McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence at Princeton University. He is the director of the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions, and he's the author of Embryo, A Defense of Human Life. Professor George is a pro-life thinker and activist, and I am really glad to have both of these men on the program today. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program, Tony and Robert. Good to have you both with us.
That's great. Glad to be with a Princeton man.
Good to talk to you, Tony Campolo. Listen, can you tell me what's behind your idea to bring this kind of an abortion reduction plank to the Democratic Party platform committee?
Well, first of all, I'm pro-life, number one. Number two is the legality of this thing has to be seriously called into question by both parties. However, given the fact that the Democratic Party is a pro-choice party, the question is, are they sensitive to this issue at all? The Democrats want to peel away some support from the evangelical community to support Obama in this coming election. And it's fairly clear that unless they have something to say positive to pro-life Democrats, and unless they have something to say that's positive on the abortion issue to evangelicals in general, that's not going to happen. And so the argument goes something like this. If you have a woman, let's say 17-year-old, 18-year-old woman, she's pregnant, she's working at a minimum wage, she's not entitled to any maternity leave, she doesn't have hospitalization, she doesn't have any prospect for daycare, she's in this situation where she's working for a minimum forces will drive her to having abortions. Many argue. The Guttmacher Foundation says 70% of the abortions are economically driven. I don't think it's that high. But I would think that at least 50% of the abortions are economically driven. So if we look at a woman, that woman, she's making a minimum wage. She's saying, I don't have enough money to support myself and pay my rent, let alone a baby. I lose my job if I have this baby. I am going to have to face the fact that there's no daycare for this child. I don't have any hospitalization to cover my medical expenses. Those economic factors will drive her to having an abortion. And we're saying, can we remove those economic impetus factors? Can we remove those forces that are driving her to have an abortion? Can we address the economic problems and not solve the problem, but reduce the problem significantly?
All right.
And that's what we're arguing for.
Professor Robert George, does that make sense? Let's stop arguing so much about whether or not abortion ought to be legal and deal with the root causes. Are you with us, Professor George? Robert George, we must have lost him for a moment. Mr. Campolo, can you tell us a little bit about when you talk about how the Democratic Party is trying to reach out to evangelicals? I think you're right, but I have in front of me Barack Obama's webpage where he's dealing with the issue of reproductive choice. And he says, Barack Obama understands that abortion is a divisive issue. He respects those who disagree with him. However, he has been a consistent champion of reproductive choice and will make preserving women's rights under Roe versus Wade a priority as president. He opposes any constitutional amendment to overturn the Supreme Court's decision. Does it concern you that in working for an abortion reduction plank, that what you're doing is really providing a little bit of cover for a pro-abortion regime, a pro-abortion administration?
Well, maybe that's the case. I can't argue how people are going to take it. I just feel that as a Democrat, I have to push for a pro-life agenda, and given the parameters under which I am operating, I am dealing with the economic forces. And the political forces, which I think the Republicans are dealing with, is another issue. But it bothers me. And I've tried to get in touch with Mr. Obama, but it's been difficult to get through. I really need to talk to him about this because I don't think he grasps the fact that how the evangelicals feel on this issue. Number one. Number two is I'm not sure that he would be opposed to the proposals that the Democrats for Life, which is an organization within the Democratic Party, are really advocating. And we think we can reduce abortions dramatically. Clinton understood this as he talked about abortions being rare but legal. Well,
yeah,
hardly rare in America.
Yeah, he talked about that though, Tony. But he also vetoed even the most minimal legislation to protect unborn babies, the partial birth abortion ban.
You know, that really upset me that he vetoed the late term or partial birth abortion bill. It has different names depending on who's talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about the same thing, late-term partial birth abortion. We're talking about the same thing. And he vetoed that bill. And I did confront him on that. And it did point out that this was a very serious matter. And, you know, those late-term or partial birth abortion bills, we're not even talking about pro-life at that point. I think when you're talking about like a month before the baby is born, I think you're dealing with infanticide at this particular point.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. But my question is, when is the time when you finally say, this is so horrific, I'm going to walk away from the people that are advocating this and doing it? And that's the question we're going to take up when we come back. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that we can come together and work together to address the so-called root causes of abortion without dealing with the question of the horror of abortion first? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We'll be right back. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Tony Campolo is going to Denver. He's on the Democratic Party Platform Committee, and he is going to be working with some others to bring onto the Democratic Party platform a plank calling for a reduction in abortion by dealing with economic causes behind abortion. Do you think this is a good idea? Should pro-life evangelicals be cheering Tony as he goes to Denver, or should we be saying, wait, Tony, you're a dupe for doing this? What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And the gremlins in the phone have been dealt with, and we have now Professor Robert George, who is the McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence at Princeton University and director of the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions, author of the book Embryo, A Defense of Human Life, friend of mine, a friend of this program. Professor George, Tony Campolo and some other pro-life Democrats say, let's put in the Democratic Party plank a plank on reducing the economic causes behind abortion, and we can form kind of common ground between pro-life people and pro-choice people that might actually save some babies. What's wrong with that?
Well, first let me say, Russell, that it's a pleasure to be back on your show, on Al's show, and to be with you, and I send Al my best, of course. Let me also say that it's a pleasure to be on with Dr. Campolo, whom I've never met in person, but whose writings I've read over the years. I myself am an ex-Democrat, an ex-pro-life Democrat. I eventually left the Democratic Party, which was the party of my grandparents. Both of my grandfathers were coal miners in West Virginia and southwestern Pennsylvania. They were union men. They were strong Democrats. We were always taught that the Democratic Party was the party of the weak and the vulnerable, the defender of the little guy. And when the Democratic Party embraced abortion full bore as they did and continued to do, our family, and I among them, was simply driven out of the party. The party left me. I didn't leave the party. And eventually I found a home in the Republican Party, with whose policies I do not entirely agree, but which is certainly on the right side of the great moral issue of our time, which is the defense of innocent human life, not only from abortion, which is a terrible thing, but also, and increasingly importantly, from the destruction of innocent human beings in biomedical research. Another thing I very much regret to say that the party that I once so deeply loved has embraced. The Democrats are now the party of embryo destructive research, full bore, the creation of embryos indeed by cloning for their destruction in research. I salute those who remain in the Democratic Party and who try to fight the pro-life fight in the Democratic Party. I wish them well. I had the pleasure of working for Governor Bob Casey, the greatest of the pro-life Democrats in the early 1990s, and I'd like to see his legacy restored in the Democratic Party. Democrats wouldn't even allow him to speak at the convention because of his pro-life views in 1992, but I do salute those who are making the effort. I would warn them, though, I think it's a very, very bad mistake to compromise and hold that it's acceptable to permit abortion to be legally licensed while simply fighting economic causes to try to reduce the number of abortions. The law is a great and powerful teacher. If abortion is the taking of innocent human life, as I believe it is, and I believe Dr. Campolo believes it is, and I know you believe it is, Russell, then our fundamental obligation in justice to give every person within the community the equal protection of the laws demands that we legally prohibit abortion and embryo destructive research to defend the fundamental rights of the unborn. If abortion is not the taking of innocent human life, then abortion is a very good way to solve the problems that many women experience with unwanted and inconvenient and sometimes very difficult pregnancies. Now, if the law sends the message that abortion should be legal, by legalizing abortion, the law sends a message that the unborn child who is killed is in fact not a child, is in fact not a human being. And it's very difficult, having sent that message, to then try to fight abortion by simply focusing on economic issues. That kind of economic determinism, I think, just does not hold true to sociology or history. Of course, it was a centerpiece of Marxist analysis, the idea of economic determinism, and it was what was fundamentally, I think, above all, together with atheism, the defect in Marxist philosophy. So, yes, let's reduce the number of abortions, but let us not give up on our obligation and justice to defend the equal rights and fundamental dignity and law of the unborn child.
I'm going to ask Tony Campolo to respond to that if he can hang around through the break. What do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that pro-abortion people are actually using pro-life people with these kinds of let's make abortion safe, legal, and rare talk? Or should we be cheering it on? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler with a quavering voice with the summer cold season coming through. But we're going to try to hold out because we're talking about something that is really, really important. Right now, there may be a teenage girl sitting in the lobby of an abortion clinic contemplating having an abortion. Tony Campolo, one of our guests, says, let's work together to come up with a way to deal with the economic causes behind her wanting that abortion, and we can find common ground between pro-life and pro-choice people to do it. My other guest, Professor Robert George, law professor at Princeton University, says, no, the law is a teacher. And if we do not deal with the issue of whether or not unborn children are persons with equal protection under the law, then we're going to further the abortion culture. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should we work together with pro-abortion people to try to reduce the number of abortions to make abortions safe, legal, and rare, at least for now? Or is that a smokescreen? 877-893-8255. Tony Campolo, what would you say to someone that would argue, as I would, that getting together with abortion rights supporters and saying, let's reduce the number of abortions, is something like a previous generation getting together with white supremacists and saying, let's find a way to reduce the number of lynchings? Don't you kind of almost provide a smokescreen?
Granted, that was a very inflammatory way of stating the issue.
Not if unborn children are actually children.
So would you let me respond? If the choice is working to reduce abortions by 50%, which I believe we can do if we address economic factors as such as providing maternity leave for the woman who has the baby, hospital coverage, raising the minimum wage so she can support that child, providing daycare. If we can cut abortions by 50%, we're doing nothing, walking away from the party that probably will control both houses of Congress next time. If those are the two choices, doing nothing or reducing abortions by 50%. We may differ on all kinds of philosophical principles. I just want you to know, I would rather commit myself to reducing abortions by 50% than doing nothing at all. Secondly, I would ask you a very serious question, and it's this. For 2 years, the Republicans controlled the presidency, both houses of Congress, and the Supreme Court. Question, did they even try to overturn Roe versus Wade? Did they make the slightest effort to overturn? I'm not saying did they try and fail. Did they even bring it up on the floor? They had all the power that they asked for, and we gave it to them as evangelicals, and they didn't do a thing.
Wouldn't you say that's what the Supreme Court appointments were about?
I think it's up to Republicans to raise questions within the Republican Party.
So, Tony, are you going to vote for Barack Obama in November?
Yes, I probably will. I guess I will.
I just can't understand that. I cannot understand how you can say I believe that a baby, an unborn baby, is a baby, and I'm gonna support a guy who's gonna put people on the Supreme Court who are going to deny the personhood of those babies. Professor Robert George, what would you say to an evangelical or a Roman Catholic who says I'm pro-life, but Republicans haven't done anything to reduce the number of abortions? Roe versus Wade is still the law of the land. So why shouldn't we instead get around that question and get to something that might actually reduce the number of abortions?
Well, Russell, that claim is ridiculous. The Republicans did put back into place the Mexico City policy to prohibit funding of abortions abroad and abortion referrals abroad. President Bush and the administration prevented the expansion of federal funding for embryo destructive research and have stood fast against so-called therapeutic cloning. That is the creation of new human beings by cloning for destruction, to be destroyed, to be rendered into simply disposable research material. There are five justices on the Supreme Court standing in the way of the reversal of Roe versus Wade. The Bush administration put on two justices, Alito and Roberts, who will, I have no doubt, vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. The two Democratic justices on the court, the ones put on by Clinton, have made very clear that they will uphold Roe versus Wade. So until there is a vacancy that would permit a president to appoint another justice who would overturn Roe versus Wade, that decision simply cannot be overturned. McCain has promised to put on constitutionalist judges who will stand for a jurisprudence that is diametrically opposed to Roe versus Wade. Barack Obama has promised to put on justices who will uphold Roe versus Wade. Barack Obama has the most radical pro-choice position. I'm being polite here, calling it pro-choice. The most abortion-friendly position of any candidate for president that I know of, going back to the beginning of the era of abortion. He even voted in the Illinois legislature when he was a senator there to oppose the bill that would protect the life of the child after the child was already born, where an abortion had failed and a child had been born alive. So I really do not see the validity of this position or the plausibility of this position at all.
I'm with you, Professor George, on that. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that we can have common ground, that we should come together with those who support legal abortion rights and say, let's try to reduce the number of abortions, even if we vote for Barack Obama and support a potential Obama administration? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Thank you, Professor Robert George and Dr. Tony Campolo, for bringing your thoughts to the table. I'm interested in hearing from our hearers now. What do you think? Is this a good idea? Should we work together to reduce the number of abortions and not concentrate so much on whether or not abortion should be legal or illegal? I think that these pro-life evangelicals who are coming out advocating this kind of policy, I'm all for reducing the economic factors behind abortion, but I think that there is an interest from those who want to see abortion rights protected in law in saying, let's bring out our court evangelicals and our court pro-lifers to come out and to give us cover with evangelicals and Roman Catholics. I think that's the issue here, and I think it is exactly what Dr. Campolo said was inflammatory. I think it is exactly the case that it is the same thing as people saying in 1920, let's work together with pro-lynching people to see if we can remove the causes behind lynching. It's reprehensible. These are people. We'll be right back to continue this conversation. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler with my little cup of salt water here, getting this voice ready to finish out the program, talking about an initiative led by, among others, Tony Campolo, to come to the Democratic Party Platform Committee and have an abortion reduction plank. Doesn't call for abortion to be outlawed, still supports the platform on keeping abortion legal, but says let's deal with the economic issues behind it. And I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's providing a cover for a radical abortion rights agenda. Well, what do you think? Tom from Chagrin Falls, Ohio. Tom, what do you think about this issue?
Hi, thanks for your show. I think this, in my lifetime, it's become the sort of usual mode of operation for advocacy groups to use to see the law as sort of the primary instrument of change, and so to seek legal support for what they approve of and to try to criminalize what they disapprove of. And for the church, I think this politicizes the church and weakens, destroys its ability to serve as a moral advocacy source. I mean, you can't appeal to somebody's character if you're trying to put them in prison. And my point is, I think we should return to seeing the church and other advocacy groups as sources of instead of trying to criminalize certain behaviors, especially with abortion, but rather to influence people to view this culturally as something that should not be done.
Tom, if the state of Ohio legalizes the abuse of the elderly, do you think we ought to just deal with that at the level of persuasion rather than at the level of the law?
No, but I don't mean to get your conversation off track, because I think that does, frankly. The law generally is good for criminalizing things that we all agree are not good. But with something like abortion, if you criminalize it, it still goes on because many upstanding people will still engage in it.
I think if we had bought that argument, if the churches as well as the outside society had bought that argument, we would still have slavery, we would still have segregation, we would still have any number of horrific social ills. We would still have in some areas of the world some of those horrifying and abusive practices. You have to have those who are willing to stand up and say, all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are the right to life. That's a legal right. And if you bypass that legal right, you're conceding the fact these people aren't really people. I think that's important. And I think if we give that up, we've given a lot up. We've given it all up. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation here on the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.